If it's convenient for you, would you please stand for the reading of God's word? A couple of these verses are rather famous, if you will. Pay particular attention to the last part. Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus, and he penned these magnificent words for them and for you and me this day. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves, it truly is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Most of us know that. Verse 10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Powerful, powerful reminder of the calling on my heart and on yours as believers in Jesus Christ. Please be seated. A few years ago, when I started seminary and working full-time at the same time and getting on our airplanes, and it was usually because seminary was packed Friday, Saturday, Sunday night sometimes, and sometimes Monday nights. Thank God for Southwest Airlines, because I could leave on Tuesday and get back in town Friday afternoon and pick back up where I left off. But occasionally, I would forget to have a shirt cleaned. Joanne was working full-time then, as she is now. And so occasionally I would go to the cleaners. Well, back then, and this is going back maybe 12 years ago, certainly, there were one-hour martinizing signs. Do we all remember when we had one-hour martinizing? So I remember taking a couple of shirts that I desperately needed to have starts that I could take on the road with me. And I walked in and gave the two shirts and said, I'll be back in an hour. The lady looked at me like I'd lost my mind. She said, no, sir, it'll be ready Thursday. I said, no, you have a sign in the window that says 1 hour martinizing. Oh, we stopped doing that years ago. I said, really? I said, let me have my shirts back. I won't be back. What do you expect when you walk into a place that has 1 hour martinizing on the outside? You expect 1 hour martinizing. If they're going to do your oil change in 30 minutes, or it's free, I don't know about you, at 29 and a half, I'm looking, I want it free. But I expect that they're going to do what they say they're going to do. What are you and I called to do? What are you and I as Christians called to do? What signage do you and I represent with our lives? Not that we walk around as goody-goody two-shoes. We're sinners, saved by the incredible grace of Jesus Christ. But when you call yourself a Christian, when I call myself a Christian, then there's a certain obligation that goes with that. And so I really believe with my heart we need to be reminded as a church and as a church family, what is the calling on Speedway Community Church? How are we supposed to act? Not how we talk, how we act. And I would suggest that we are under a bubble as never before. I believe there are so many people within the church looking at one another, and particularly without the church, looking at what we are all about. The word hypocrite comes to mind. But let me remind you, how is there room for hypocrisy in the Church of Jesus Christ? Because every one of us is a sinner in desperate need of Jesus Christ. We can't possibly work our way to heaven. But if we know Jesus Christ, the fruits of that belief system has to come forward in the way we work. I believe God has uniquely had his hand on this church from day one. Because we are a missions-oriented church. We truly get the vertical right before we take care of the horizontal. We're going to get the vertical right. We're going to continue to have it right because we preach God's word here. But how does that impact the signage in your life and in my life? So over the next few weeks, I want to address that need as we get ready to go towards the holiday season. I want us to understand the role we have as God's children on this earth and the role the Speedway has in this community. Father God, we thank you for your word that it truly never does come back void. I personally thank you for the Apostle Paul. What a hero. The most perfect human being ever created, Father. And Lord, aside from Jesus, the second greatest to walk this earth, what an absolute joy to try to follow in his footsteps. And Father, may we take his example and his words, marrying them up with the example that Jesus has given us, and let that be our role model. And Father, because it has already taken place, we are without excuse this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let me read with you again, verse 10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. A few weeks ago, I told you the story about the lady that was arrested for cussing, screaming, and making a lot of ungodly visual signs to a car behind her that had tried to cut her off. And the policeman, of course, arrested her and took her to jail, as you recall, and upon getting out about 8 hours later, the policeman apologized. He said, "Ma'am, I thought that you were stealing the car." "Well, why did you think that?" "Well, you had on Jesus Loves Me and all these other Christian signs outside the car. I just naturally assumed you had stolen it." Again, what kind of example do you and I want to be? Are we not called to bear some resemblance to Jesus and obey his teachings? Someone has said, I love this by the way, if you're going to wear the name, you need to act the same. What are the signs that a person who claims to be a Christian is a true follower of Jesus Christ? There are many, of course, but a good example is the one Jesus gave to his disciples in John 13:35. By this all will know you are my disciples if you have what? Love for one another. Love, compassion, tenderness, understanding, forgiveness are all traits that Jesus manifested. And if we claim to be his disciples today. If the church is going to make an impact in this world, if Speedway Community Church is going to leave Homestead better than we found it, we must do so on the basis of authenticity and truthfulness. We cannot claim to be one thing with our words and then reveal then that we're something quite different with the lives we live. I said a couple of weeks ago as we wound down our sermon series on prayer that the one constant in our lives was Jesus' constant love and mercy towards each and every one of us. We need to replicate that example in our daily lives as well. We need to replicate it in our daily lives as well. It bears repeating. The only way that we get to leave this world, and Homestead in particular, better than we found them, is to follow Jesus' challenges in your life and in mine. Jesus had a body when he was on the earth, but when he departed, the term body of Christ was applied to his followers. That's you and me this morning. Individually and corporately, we are to demonstrate the same life in the body of Christ that Christ did through his own body while he was here on the earth. Acts 10:38 reminds us how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. When you and I go about replicating and doing things that Jesus has called us to do, when you and I go about hanging out the signage that's supposed to represent the belief system that you and I have, we can do it successfully when we allow God to be with us. When you and I invite Jesus into our lives, that same Holy Spirit enters us, and God uses that to accomplish great things wherever we go. An old Baptist preacher once said, "If we will be to Jesus what Jesus was to the Father, then Jesus will be to us what the Father was to him." Let me say that again. If we will be to Jesus what Jesus was to his Father, then Jesus will be to us, you and me, what the Father was to him. In other words, as the Father helped Jesus with his ministry, he is certainly going to help you and I this morning. My prayer is that this new series that I've entitled The Signs of Life will not only be a wake-up call as to what we are called to do, and that's become salt and light, but will be a measuring rod as to how much more we need to accomplish as his church here in Homestead. If Speedway will continue to learn about Christ, love one another, and live the Christian life, the foundational underpinnings of this, our church, then we will truly become the salt and the light that Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 5. Let's talk about the salt for a minute. The phrase salt of the earth is well known today in our culture, even among non-Christians. Today, when used to describe an individual, salt of the earth usually means a good and decent person. But what did it mean in Jesus' day? When Jesus walked the earth, salt was a preservative in days long before refrigeration existed. Salt was especially beneficial in preserving fish, which was a staple for many, many in those days. You see, fish could be kept edible for many, many days if there was salt used to retard the spoilage. So when Jesus said that his followers are salt of the earth, they knew what he meant. Believers should be a preserving effect on the people and places around them. You and I should also. We are called to retard and stop, if possible, the evil that is all around us. A few weeks ago, when we talked about God asking to deliver us from evil in our prayer time with the Lord's Prayer, we said that only God was equipped to do that. We said that we needed to daily ask him to help us confront the evil that was all around us. As bad as it seems today in the tendency to lose hope, imagine what it would be like if there were no church of Jesus Christ. Think back to the end of Revelation when we talked about the last days, the tribulation period, and we talked about the horrors that was going to affect mankind. That was vivid examples. And I am told by scholars who have studied this for years, it pales in comparison to the tribulation that will actually take place. We have a lot of work to do, ladies and gentlemen, before Christ returns. But he offers a positive solution. So I would say, God, come quick. We need you, and we need you desperately. Besides being a preservative, salt also creates thirst in us. Jesus used the term to say that we should, by our lives, make people thirsty to know the reality of God in our lives. Most of you have heard the story many times about my son in the wheelchair. What a lot of you don't know is that I also have a biological daughter who is now a registered nurse in Phoenix, Arizona. But she always wasn't such a nice young lady. She had some issues with drugs. And it about did her in one day, and we got her from Atlanta, Georgia, down to Miami, and we got her into Miami Hospital, which is, I have now learned, is one of the finest drug rehab programs in the country. And you get into some rather heavy conversations in that place, and after seeing a video in the morning, Jeff is smirking back there because he knows about these things, and they're not such nice videos as Dave Ramsey does. They're really right in your face. And then they send you into a room, and it's usually about, well, I would say six different families, so there's 10 or 12 people in this room, and they shut the door, and there's a moderator, and it starts, and it gets heavy, and it gets deep, and it gets hurtful, and it gets hard, and there's tears shed, and it's amazing what happens. But the truth tends to come out in those kinds of situations. And I was shocked at some of the people, besides my own daughter, that was in there. You would be shocked if I named names, and I'm not about to do that. But let me just say that during the course of all of these dialogues, there was a relationship that was being reestablished between my daughter and myself and Joanne as well. And people started to see the interaction, and they saw the way that Joanne and I conducted ourselves. And I must tell you, because there were some definitely non-Christians in there as well, that they would come up to us after about the first two or three times that we had these meetings, and they said to both of us, you all act differently. What is it about you that makes you interact the way that you do with your daughter and also with each other? And we said, I've got to be honest with you, it's Jesus Christ. He's the most important person in our lives. You see, we weren't running around thumping people over the head with the Bibles. No Bibles were allowed in that room. We didn't walk around with a sign, look at me, I'm a goody-goody-two-shoe Christian. I just lived my life the way God asked me to live my life. I lived my life wanting to have a relationship reestablished with my daughter. And he honored that. But in honoring that, he honored the example. You see, I didn't need the signage. I was living the signage. And that's an example for you and me today. Do what God has called you to do. so that when those tough times come, and Jeff deals with a lot of issues like that, when those tough times come, I didn't say if those tough times come, ladies and gentlemen, Rick Warren pegged it. If you're not in trouble now, you were yesterday, and if you're not in trouble yesterday, today, you sure as heck will be tomorrow. It's just a matter of time. So when we hit those spots in our lives, it is so easy to sing God's praises, as we've done this morning, when everything is hunky-dory. But who promised you a rose garden? No one, including Jesus Christ. People who don't know God should look at Christians and be attracted to the life that God makes possible for you and I to live. Tragically, though, today many Christians turn off people by the way they live. And may I suggest, as I alluded to before, we are more in a bubble now than ever before. How we live our lives, not just what we say, has more meaning and witnessing power than ever before. When you and I seek to honor Christ the way we conduct ourselves on a daily basis, when we are daily in God's Word trying to grow spiritually, then salt will have a positive effect on those around us. When you and I thirst and long to be like Christ, when we seek to help others less fortunate, and when we strive to uphold each other in Christian fellowship as this church does, then the body of Christ duplicates what Jesus died for, and sin and evil will take a back seat. What's the other half of that phrase? Salt and what? Light. Salt and light deals with the light that we're supposed to represent, and it comes from verse 14 of Matthew 5. You're the light of the world. Further evidence of the importance of being the light can be found in Jesus' own description of himself in John 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." How do you and I keep from walking in darkness? That's easy. It really is. We align ourselves with Christ and his word. Psalm 119, verse 105. "Your word is the lamp unto my feet, a light on my path." Jesus was not only the light of the world while he was here, he also taught us how to be his light after he left to be with his Father by reading and knowing his word, the Holy Spirit. We are now challenged as his body to spread his word to all who would listen. The light that we are called to grows brighter and brighter inside each and every one of us when we spend time seeking to honor him. We will never be the light, but we will be reflectors of the light. Let me say that again. There's only one Jesus Christ. There never will be another. Praise God. But you and I can reflect the light that he represented as we seek to study his word, as we seek to emulate his life, as we seek to overcome the trials and tribulations that exist in every one of our lives and seek to give him the honor and the glory that he so richly deserves. Hallowed be thy name. We spent a lot of time on that. In the same way, let your life shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Matthew 5, 16. I was telling someone the other day that now having the honor, and I take this very seriously, and the privilege of being a full-time pastor here now, I have looked for what can I do now that I don't have two full-time jobs to worry about. I just will spend 24 hours a day dealing with what God has called me to do. And I'm looking for ways that I can use my time effectively. And you know that I'm very involved in a number of the missions around town. I'm involved out at the airbase. And that's been wonderful. It really has. But there's one other area that I wanted to be involved with. And a number of people had mentioned a number of different organizations here in town. But the one I kept coming back to, because of what they represent, is Kiwanis. It doesn't hurt that my next-door neighbor, Julie Romero, has been telling me for 2 years she will personally annihilate me if I don't join Kiwanis. But what a lovely human being. You talk about a woman who's all over town involved in everything going on is Julie Romero. So she's been one of my role models for a long time. She also is right across the street at the bank, and they do all of our banking business. So I've come to know her personally and professionally, and I love what they stand for. So last Wednesday, it's the first time I ever went, I went to a luncheon, and I walked in, and I saw two or three people I already knew. But to listen when Julie got up and say the things as your pastor, not as Brock Schiffer, as what Speedway Community Church is doing in this community, it blew me away. It was so wonderful to hear that other people are acknowledging what you're doing as a church body in this community. What a privilege you've given Joanne and I to be the pastors of this church, to represent you in this community, to represent Jesus Christ in this community. So I understand what it truly means to be the salt and the light. You all take to heart what salt and light means in this world, in this community. And if we continue to do this, there is no way that we're not going to leave Homestead better than we found it. And who gets the glory? Not Speedway. Never should happen. Jesus Christ. That's what you and I should represent. Being the church, the body of Christ, is about preserving and illuminating our world here in Homestead, pushing back evil and darkness so that the gospel of Christ can do its work. As we seek to become the light of life that Jesus talked about, it's important to remember where we came from. Ladies and gentlemen, we came from darkness. Sin absolutely tries to hold out the light. And if it weren't for Jesus Christ, we'd still be there. There is still darkness all around us, my friends, but we are challenged to become the light in the darkness. Ephesians 5:8, for you were once darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. We start that journey toward the light by truly appreciating how far we've come in the darkness because of God and His Word. As a Christian, we need to remember to be living a life where God's light guides us every step of the way. Remember, we are either a child of the light or a child of darkness. There's no other choice. We're either living our lives as enlightened children of God in obedience to Jesus and His Word, or we're living in darkness and rebellion against Him. 1 John 1, 6-7 says this, if we claim to have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and we do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship. We have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. One of the great things that we do as a church body, we have wonderful fellowship in this church. We really do. There's some incredible, three-on-three and by extensions. We really care about one another in this church. It is so evident because I talk to so many people who come here and say, the reason I decided to join was because I sensed something I very rarely feel in other churches. Or I felt so welcomed, or I felt the presence of Jesus Christ. Or when we studied the prayer, we talked about how it is in this church. We don't just lip service, we genuinely pray for one another on Wednesday nights. And throughout the work, if we have a prayer chain, it's really wonderful in this church. We genuinely care for one another. What a tribute to the Jesus that lives in your life, that lives in my life. William Barclay, the author and commentator, once said, Jesus did not say, you're the light of the church. He said, you're the light of the world. Remember, we reflect the source. We're not the source. That great TV series years ago, Mission Impossible, love that show, always started by asking the same question. Your mission, Mr. Phelps, should you accept it? Well, God is asking you and me today whether we will accept our mission to become the light of the world and that He has created for us. Becoming that light means we need to be consistent in our daily lives, always trying to seek and honor Christ with our actions. In other words, our actions are supposed to represent what we believe. And then I read an interesting story from Chuck Swindoll. He's one of my favorite writers, great Texas preacher. He tells the story several years ago. He was paying a hospital visit, and he parked his car, and he was walking towards the front entrance to the hospital. And he looked in the distance, about to the back of the room, and he saw this man who he recognized as the husband of the woman he was going to visit coming out, and he was puffing on a cigarette. And the man looked up and he could see Dr. Swindoll coming towards him. And of course, he had never ever smoked around the church. So he said, you should have seen the look in that man's face when he saw me walking towards him. So he just kept coming. They kept coming towards each other, and he noticed as I got a little closer, the man took his lit cigarette and stuck it in his pocket. and he said, and we got up to each other, and we started exchanging pleasantries, and the smoke is starting to pour out of the man's pocket. You know, I started howling when I did this. I thought, by the grace of God, do I ever have to deal with that? What was his concern? The man coming out was afraid Dr. Swindoll would judge him by smoking. But the man never did it around other Christians. Be what you're going to be. God knows who you are. Don't pretend. We're all a bunch of flawed sinners in here. We're no better than anybody else. Say one. We know Jesus Christ. That's one upsmanship. That's okay. But we don't flaunt it because we remember who we are. We're still a sinner. Save the grace of Jesus Christ. So be careful for burning cigarettes.
I said my goal.
I love that story. Our mission, Speedway, should we accept it, is simply this. We need to understand that we can't possibly be the light or even a reflector of the light without Jesus Christ. He and He alone is the only power source that matters. Who's that power source? His name is Jesus Christ. In order for us to glow in the dark, we need to be attached to the ultimate power source for our lives, and His name is Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:6-7. Pardon me. For God who said, let the light shine out of darkness, made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. The idea of glowing in the dark is so that we might reflect the God that we represent as believers in Him. He is not only our power source, He's our role model as well. How do we assure ourselves of being in the light? We spend time with the light. Get the vertical right, the horizontal will take care of itself. Your glow, my glow, our glow is in direct proportion with how much time we spend reading His Word and following His commands and example. We have a great example of this in the book of Acts. Acts 4, verse 13. They're talking about Peter and John. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. When somebody sees something special in you, when we do something that brings honor and glory to Jesus Christ, it's one indication and one indication only. We have been with Jesus. So as this sermon series unfolds on attributes that should demonstrate our walk with Jesus Christ, may every Sunday we walk saying, to do what we need to do, we have to walk with Jesus. The glow and knowledge that these two men had in front of their enemies was something that even they couldn't ignore. When you and I go about our daily lives seeking to honor and glorify our risen Savior, then all around us will surely see the light of Christ inside us. When we will then become the true reflectors of that light, and the darkness that is all around us will go strangely dim. One last story. Country preacher, small town, knew everybody's first name, just about like what we have here. He noticed one particular country farmer hadn't been to church in about 2 months. So he decided he would go pay an unannounced visit one Sunday afternoon. So he walked out to the farmhouse, walked up, knocked the door, and he could smell the wonderful aroma of burning wood inside. And so the farmer opened the door, somewhat embarrassed to see who was at the door. Of course, he invited him in. He said, come over and have a seat by the fireplace. And they started to chat a little bit, and about 3 minutes into just conversation, the pastor stood up, went over to the fireplace, took some tongs, and took a board that was on fire, and just kind of pulled it off to the side. They went back, sat down, never said a word, just picked right up where they were talking, farming, sports, whatever was going on in the neighborhood. About 5 minutes, you could look over in the corner, and that what had been blazing piece of fire was now just smoking, no blaze whatsoever. About a minute goes by, and the pastor pastor stood, excuse me, the farmer stood up and looked at the pastor and he said, "I'll be in church on Sunday." You see, when you took the wood away from the fire, there was no fire left. It started to die out. When you and I get away from the power source that you and I need to be the salt and the light that God has called us, we can't achieve it on our own. But when we're there with the power source, we can do some incredible things in the name of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, don't expect to grow if you're not spending time with the light source. Your job and mine, Speedway, should we agree to accept it, is to become the greatest light reflector Homestead has ever seen. I pray you and I are up to the task. Let's pray. Father God, you have created a fire in this church, you and no one else. Father, the embers are here. The wood is here. The fire is here. And so we're starting. Father, we have made some impressions. Yes, we have. We made some indentations. Yes, we have. But Father God, we haven't begun to accomplish what you called us to be. Father, I can't wait to see what you're going to do over the next few years. With this group of people who came together for one reason only, to become the salt and the light that you've called us to be. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.